Our first reading is from Mark chapter 8, verses 34 and 35. Then Jesus called the crowd and his disciples to him. If anyone wants to come with me, he told them, he must forget self, carry his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his own life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. Our second reading is from Mark 15, verses 21 to 27. On the way, they met a man named Simon, who was coming into the city from the country, and the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. Simon was from Cyrene and was the father of Alexander and Rufus. They took Jesus to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There, they tried to give him wine mixed with a drug called myrrh, but Jesus would not drink it. Then they crucified him and divided his clothes among themselves, throwing dice to see who would get which piece of clothing. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The notice of the accusation against him said, "The King of the Jews." They also crucified two bandits with Jesus, one on his left and the other on his right. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for your word to us this evening. Lord, we pray that by your Spirit you will reveal its truth to us. And we pray that you will enable us to hear all that your Spirit wants to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Over the last few weeks, we have been looking at various people who have encountered Jesus during the time leading up to his death. And we're continuing that series tonight, and our focus is on Simon, who carried Jesus' cross. Before we consider what we can learn from Simon's encounter with Jesus, I'd like us to take a few moments to see what we actually know about Simon. Now, Mark told us that Simon was from Cyrene in North Africa. I did have an idea of kind of asking you tonight what you knew about where Simon was from, but if you were here this morning, Paul would have gone on and told you all about that. But I'll tell you a bit anyway, because I know some of you weren't here this morning. We've got a map. Dan has helpfully circled for you Cyrene there in what is Libya, and Jerusalem way across on the other side. Now, we don't know whether Simon still lived in Cyrene. Clearly, he hadn't just left there to travel to Jerusalem. He might have been travelling on business and still been based in Cyrene. He may have now moved across and be living in the countryside around Jerusalem. We do know from what Mark tells us that he had two sons, and they were called Alexander and Rufus. And although Simon isn't mentioned anywhere else in the Bible apart from this event, he's not mentioned before, he's not mentioned after, it is thought that his son Rufus could well be the same Rufus that is mentioned by Paul in Romans 16. Now, if you're like me, you'll think, Romans 16? That's not a familiar passage. So I looked it up to see what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 16, and he said, "I send greetings to Rufus, that outstanding worker in the Lord's service, and to his mother, who has always treated me like a son." Now, certainly, the fact that Mark names Rufus and Alexander in this reading implies that they were known by other Christians at the time and that they were believers. Whether or not Simon knew about Jesus before he was called in by the Romans to carry Jesus' cross, we don't know. But certainly at some point before or after that event, Rufus became a believer and his mother became a believer. It's also been suggested that the part that Simon played and the mention of his sons was hinting at the fact that Jesus came to save the whole world. Let me explain. Simon was obviously from Africa. Simon's name was Hebrew. Rufus' name was Latin. And Alexander had a Greek name. And it's been suggested that these different names reflected different places and different cultures. And it's suggested that the reason why Mark highlights them there is the fact that he's hinting that the gospel of Jesus is not just for one particular group of people or for one particular part of the world. Jesus came to save the whole world, and the good news is for everyone. Now, in terms of knowing about Simon, that's about it. And it seems quite strange that we know so little of him, and yet he played such a crucial role at the end of Jesus' life. Now, clearly this role was enforced upon him by the Romans. He didn't volunteer, and he didn't have any option to avoid it. He was grabbed by the soldiers and forced to carry the crossbar that Jesus would eventually be hung from. So what can we learn as we reflect on Simon and what he did for Jesus? Well, there are two angles I'd like us to look at tonight. And in some ways they sound quite similar, but they have very, very different meanings. The first is the fact that when Simon was carrying the cross, he was following Jesus. When he carried the cross, he was following Jesus. Now, in actual fact, our reading tonight from Mark's Gospel doesn't tell us that. But if you look at what Luke tells us, he says that the soldiers seized Simon, put the cross on him, and made him carry it behind Jesus. So that gives me a picture. Jesus is making his way through the streets. Simon is following him. Now again, this is something that Simon was forced to do. He didn't choose to follow Jesus. But as I was considering that picture in my mind and reflecting on what happened, it just got me thinking. Life isn't easy for most of us. We all at some point have to face loss. We might have to endure illness, perhaps struggle financially. Relationships can bring conflict. We struggle through tragedies and problems. Sometimes we cope more because we have to than through choice. Sometimes we feel we're just about keeping our head above water and we can't take any more. And I've heard people often talking about the difficulties they've had to endure or the burdens they've had to carry and referring to them as the cross they have to bear. Is that a phrase that you've heard before? It's the cross they have to bear. Now, like Simon, we don't choose to endure those things. We don't choose to go through times of pain and suffering. They are inflicted upon us. They feel heavy. They weigh us down. They seem unfair. But we are forced to carry them. The first question I want us to consider tonight is that when we go through those times, are we, like Simon, still following Jesus? Now, I know Simon didn't have a choice, but it just struck me as somewhat significant that Jesus went ahead and Simon followed. And it highlighted to me the fact that often we do have a choice as to whether or not we choose to follow Jesus throughout the trials and the burdens we face. When life is hard, we face a decision. We can either say, I don't understand what's happening. I'm struggling to see God in the midst of this. It's not fair. I don't deserve this. And so I'll go my own way. I'll either blame God or I'll assume he doesn't care. The other option is to say, I don't understand what's happening. I'm struggling to see God in the midst. But I know he is there. And I'll ask him to help me keep trusting him even though at this moment what's going on doesn't make sense to me. And if the burden can't be taken away, I'll ask him to help me carry it. Do you see the difference in the two options, the two reactions that we can make? Now, neither of those reactions change the situation. The burden we're carrying is still there. The pain is still very real. The question is whether we want to face the situation with God or whether we want to struggle without him. Now, on one level, the question seems quite strange. If the burden is still going to be there, doesn't it make more sense to face the difficulties with God's help and his comfort and his strength and his peace rather than to try to cope alone? But on the other hand, if we're realistic, choosing to follow Jesus in the midst of difficulties is sometimes harder. It might mean facing difficult questions. It might mean us battling with doubt. It means trying to live by Jesus' values and reflect his love, even through the pain and the struggles. And if you've been there, you know that isn't easy. At the end of the day, that is what faith is all about. It's quite easy for us to say we have faith when life is all rosy. It's when times are tough that faith really kicks in. So how do we keep on following Jesus, even though life is hard and we feel like the weight of the world is on our shoulders? There were lots of little stories I thought of that I could share tonight. I could share the story of the oyster who found discomfort from a grain of sand, but who endured the pain in order to produce a pearl. I could tell you the story of the frog who fell into a bowl of milk, but he refused to give in and he kept kicking and kicking and swimming around, and eventually he churned up the milk so much it became thick cream and he was able to climb out. These stories are great and they remind us of the importance of persevering through the challenges and trying to bring good out of them. But as encouraging as they are, they don't necessarily give us any practical advice as to when we feel weighed down like Simon was and how we can keep on following Jesus. But there are three bits of advice that I did feel made a difference and were reflected in the story we heard tonight. The first thing is to choose to trust in Jesus, even though everything around you seems to say the complete opposite. If you think about the scene that Grace read to us tonight, people had put their hope in Jesus. They'd begun to believe he might even be the promised Messiah. And now he was being led through the streets, too weak to even carry his own cross, and about to be crucified. That's not a situation that makes sense. And for those who were there, watching, despairing, disappointed, it would have been so hard for them to keep on trusting what they knew of Jesus. Now, we know the end of the story. As weak and helpless as Jesus looked, he was actually accomplishing God's purpose. God was still there. God was still powerful. God's love for Jesus never stopped for even a second. And yet, to look at the situation, you might think the opposite. So keep trusting in Jesus is the first thing. The second is be honest about the pain and the struggle you're facing. Having walked through the streets, Jesus was nailed to a cross. We heard that bit. We didn't hear this bit, but we do know that it was there on the cross that Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? In those moments, Jesus felt completely alone. More than the physical pain and torture, more than the emotional humiliation and rejection, the greatest pain he felt was of being separated from God. And when we're facing those challenges and carrying those burdens, we can feel a long way from God too. And like Jesus, we need to be honest about how we feel. We need to cry out to him and say it how it is and ask him to meet us in that place. If we're not honest about the pain, how can we begin to try and follow Jesus through the hardships? So choose to keep trusting Jesus. Be honest about how we feel. And I think the third step is to ask God directly for help and strength to carry the burdens and get through the pain. Look again at Jesus. He was too weak to carry the cross himself. And so Simon was drafted in to help him. And if Jesus needed help, then we need help. In the same way, we need help and support from other people around us. And it's good if we've got friends and we've got people we know in church who can get alongside us and lift us up. But more than that, we need the strength, peace and comfort that God can bring to us through his Holy Spirit to help us carry those burdens. Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are tired from carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest." And I don't believe God wants to see us struggle in our own strength. He wants to be there with us, helping us, walking with us, strengthening us through our troubles. But we have to ask him and trust him to help us. Simon of Cyrene carried the cross of Jesus and he followed Jesus through the streets. As we walk through life with our own burdens and troubles, my first question to you tonight is, will you go it alone? Or like Simon, will you choose to follow Jesus? The other angle I wanted to look at this evening as we focus on Simon was linked to that other passage from Mark chapter 8, where Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wants to come with me, he must forget self, carry his cross, and follow me." Now, when Jesus was talking about carrying a cross in this instance, I don't think he was talking about those burdens we bear, the hardships we face, the ones we've just been focusing on. They were things that were inflicted upon us and upon other people, and we can't do anything about them. In this passage, Jesus is talking about the challenge of discipleship. He was saying, following him means choosing to go his way and not our own way. It means living by his values, not by the values of the world. It means surrendering our lives to him in order to live for him. When any of you used that phrase about carrying a cross, that would have conjured up images of the people that he was talking to. The kind of scene that we heard where people walked through the streets carrying a cross. Because if people carried crosses in Jesus' day, it meant they were about to die. And Jesus was saying that anyone who follows him actually needs to give up their life in order to receive new life. And that new life doesn't start after death, it starts now in the world we're in today. Again, forgetting self in order to follow Jesus, choosing his values instead of living by the values of our society is costly. Doing the right thing is often not the same as doing the easiest thing. And actually, in our culture, I think it's often almost going the opposite direction of everyone else around us. We live in a very me-centered world. Everything is about pleasing me, making sure I get what I want, making sure I've had the best experience. As long as I'm happy, that's the important thing. And thinking very little about anyone else. Isn't that almost the opposite of Jesus' teaching? Where Jesus commands us to love God with all we have and then love others as we love ourselves. To follow Jesus means to go his way and not necessarily behave as culture does, and not necessarily go the way that we want to please ourselves. Following Jesus is tough. And yet the hardships we face in some ways can't compare to what some other Christians still face today. There are people in our world who are being persecuted because they choose to trust in Jesus. And certainly at the time that Mark wrote his gospel, it's quite possible that the Christians in Rome were encountering persecution and suffering at that time because of their faith in Jesus. When they read about Simon carrying the cross of Jesus, they would have immediately linked it to those words from Mark chapter 8, and they would have been encouraged to keep going and persevering in their faith. They were literally risking their lives in order to follow Jesus. And so, as we reflect on Simon's action as he carried the cross of Jesus, I think the challenge there is still the same. Whether the call is one to risk our life in order to follow Jesus, or whether it's one about choosing Christ's values and following his way, even when it's opposite to the way of the world we live, surely we are all called to forget self and take up our cross in order to follow him. My second question to you tonight is, will you say yes to that call? Will you go Christ's way and follow him? Will you take that challenge of committing to follow him, whatever the cost, whatever the cross you have to bear, in order to be faithful to Jesus? Let's pause so we can reflect for a few moments on those questions to us, and then we'll sing a song in response. Loving God, we thank you that we can come to you tonight, and you know what it is to be in pain and to suffer and to endure hardships of all kinds. And we thank you that we can come to you openly and honestly about how we feel. Lord, we know that sometimes life, it can be really tough. And we know sometimes we find it hard to make the right decision to choose to follow you in a particular circumstance. Lord, we pray that by your Spirit you would give us strength and wisdom and enable us to make the right decisions and enable us to persevere. We thank you that what we heard tonight is not the end of the story. We thank you that you died and you rose again, and that you have the victory, and that one day life will be different. One day the pain and the suffering will be gone, and we will be with you forever in the way that you intended. And we pray that you will help us to keep holding on to that hope as we trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.